The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, this is Kevin McCullough. Thanks for listening to the Christian Outlook podcast, where we cover today's issues from a perspective that honors your Christian faith. Our podcast is brought to you through a partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. Here's another piece I trust you'll enjoy.
Dana Gruber's with us. She writes about discipleship and spiritual formation. Her brand new book is called Companions in the Darkness, Seven Saints Who Struggled with Depression and Doubt. Diana, welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's so good to be with you today.
Thank you.
Diana, you write that you didn't have a word for it until your senior year of college. Talk about that.
So I think my struggle with depression began before I had that word. But I wouldn't have called it depression. I would say, you know, I'm emotionally low right now, or I'm just crying more than normal, or I'm in a funk. And it wasn't until it became increasingly debilitating and I sought out some help at my college's counseling center that I realized, no, this thing has a name. It's depression. And came face to face with that reality. But the good part of that was that gave me the freedom to get the help that I needed to get well.
Right. So in the knowledge of depression in your life, then, Diana, you must not have been a good Christian.
Right?
Right.
You know, I wrestled with that. I think, and I know that this is the case for many people who are people of faith who struggle with depression. There's a lot of guilt that comes with it. You know, if I just prayed more or had more faith or could find the right level of spiritual willpower, somehow this would go away. I know now, obviously, that that is not true. And I really hope that this book gives people the freedom to know that it's okay to struggle. It doesn't mean that we're failing. It doesn't mean that God has left us. It's just something that some of us have to walk through.
What about the feeling, just the feeling that God has left us? Because that's kind of a stamp on people who struggle with depression.
It is. It is. And I think, you know, there's this term, the dark night of the soul, that we have throughout the history of the church, these folks who have experienced a sense of God's absence. And I don't think you have to be depressed to feel that. But in my own case, and everyone that I know who has walked through depression, it's part of the package deal, the sense that you're in deep pain and deep darkness, and you just sit with the silence of God. You know, your prayers feel like they're just escaping into the air, and the scripture might not have the same comfort that it once did. And when you're in a place of need, it's just another source of pain and another source of doubt. I find a lot of comfort from the stories that I tell in Companions in the Darkness, because to hear that some of these giants of the faith felt that as well brings a strange sort of comfort. You know, Charles Spurgeon said that when he was depressed, scripture didn't have the same sort of comfort. And Mother Teresa talks about how she felt like she couldn't pray and sometimes wondered if God even existed. And, you know, if they can feel those things and keep finding a way to walk forward, and that's not any kind of judgment on their faith or God's ability to use them, I can feel those things too.
That's really good. So in the work that you've put together, which really is very compelling, these character sketches, I would call them character sketches of seven different people that we would know, right? I mean, seven people, like I said, as he came in, Martin Luther, Charles Spurgeon, Mother Teresa, Martin Luther King Jr. To be honest, Diana, I did not know a lot about William Cooper, but I found him to be really compelling in his story. Would you open that up a little bit and talk about that sketch and who he was and how he suffered and how he dealt?
Absolutely. I love that you connected with him, because he was the one out of the seven that I was definitely the most drawn toward. William Cowper was an 18th century poet and hymn writer. He was really good friends with John Newton, who people may know is the author of the hymn Amazing Grace. And he struggled with chronic depression throughout his life. It would come and go, but it was always this present reality for him. And several times throughout the course of his life, he attempted to take his own life. And through it all, he found some way to keep writing. I think that's part of what drew me to him as a writer. Of, you know, there were some days when he was so depressed he couldn't pick up his pen. But as soon as he could, he started writing again. And there was something in the process of his writing and his art that gave him a place of stable footing and helped him go forward. Part of the beauty of his story as well, to me, is seeing the friends that steadily appeared for him throughout his life. John and Mary Newton were just two of many who gave him a place to stay, who sometimes literally kept him alive, who gave him work to do or encouragement, you know, gave him a reason to get out of bed. And for someone whose story is so bleak, and he died with that sense of God's absence, a sense of God's judgment, to see God's grace appear for him in the steady, loving, faithful presence of friends, it gave me a lot of hope.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think the response to your book shows us that there just aren't very many people talking about issues like this, especially in regards to Christian heroes. We're talking to Diana Groover. The new book is called Companions in the Darkness, Seven Saints Who Struggled with Depression and Doubt. I remember, you know, I read about Cowper a couple years ago, and when I first brought it up in a group of people, they were almost annoyed that I told the story.
Really?
It was kind of like it was such a downer that which was exactly the way I had looked at it as inspiring. But I think maybe we have like Christian heroes on a pedestal, Diana, and we don't like to hear that they suffer. Have you known people who looked at it that way?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And there's something, about, we all know that people have weaknesses, right? Or of course they're human, they struggle with things. But to see some of these giants as really vulnerable, or to see that they are very much like us, can be disconcerting sometimes, because we do like to put people up on a pedestal. And I think we would all love to think that there's some ability to exist without pain or suffering. And that's just not the case. It's a part of the human condition.
Yeah. Yeah, Diana, I think you hit on maybe what might be at the heart of it is that we want to believe that God wouldn't let us go through that. You know what I mean? And so, but if we find out that God let, you know, Charles Spurgeon go through that, then we're running out of ideas to think that maybe, or running out of support to think that maybe he wouldn't let us go through that.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So I'm glad you brought up Charles Spurgeon, because, Diana, you include this in my reading about you. There's a piece that you wrote in CT. He says this in one of his sermons. Charles Spurgeon says, "You may be surrounded with all the comforts of life and yet be in wretchedness more gloomy than death if the spirits are depressed. You may have no outward cause whatever for sorrow, and yet if the mind is dejected, the brightest sunshine will not relieve your gloom. There are times when all our evidence gets clouded over and all our joys are fled. Though we may still cling to the cross, yet it is with a desperate grasp." Mm. I mean, I think that really, you know, that's so, to me, of course, Charles Spurgeon is not a man of this age, but that's very 2021. We have all the comforts of life, right? Many of us, we are surrounded still in wretchedness and gloom. We are depressed and we can't find our way out. And still, we want to cling to the cross. That's a good thing. If we can cling to the cross in the midst of all this, that is the beginning of it all, isn't it?
You know, I find Charles Spurgeon's words to be such a source of comfort. To think of more pastors being willing to speak so matter-of-factly and honestly about depression, I think we could learn a lot from his example in that way. Because I think you're right. You know, a lot of people in the Christian community who struggle with depression have heard people say, if you just had more faith, if you just read your Bible more, if you just prayed more, you wouldn't feel like this. And I don't think that that is true, but I think that there is still something in the message of the gospel and in the hope that we're offered in the scripture that helps us find a way forward. You know, the Bible does not cure my depression, but I still need it. And I think that was something I learned from Spurgeon, to see how he turned again and again to the hope of the gospel, the hope of the promises of God, and found them as anchoring points when everything else seemed uncertain and chaotic. You know, if someone was going through cancer, we wouldn't say the Bible would cure that, but we would surely point them to the hope that is found in the stories in those pages. And I think that people struggling with mental illness, it's a very similar scenario.
Right. And, you know, I wonder, you know, this age that we live in, of course, I'm no psychologist and you know, neither are you, but, you know, I wonder how hand in hand depression and anger work with each other. Because we do live in such an angry age, but I believe if you peel that anger back, a lot of it would be rooted, of course, in our despair and the depression that society holds. What do you think?
Yeah, and I've heard some people say that depression is anger turned inward, which I think is an interesting thing. I haven't quite decided if I fully agree with that or not, but it's an interesting thing to note that one symptom of depression that can appear that most people aren't aware of is anger. And so I think that there are some cases where depression manifests itself as anger. I think of Martin Luther King Jr. I think that was the case for him towards the end of his life, was he was usually pretty calm and collected, but there's some stories of him just erupting in some staff meetings. And it seems like that was a symptom of what was going on under the surface.
Hmm. Well, I guess there's no way to get through this life without realizing that we're really complicated creatures and there's no easy fix to a lot of our issues. Diana, you landed on something a couple minutes ago that I've kind of been thinking about since you said it, which is, I think you were talking about Spurgeon and you said, you know, he found that even though the scriptures didn't pack the same emotional punch for him, when he was depressed, he still found them every bit as trustworthy. And I'm just thinking of people listening to the show, and maybe they're afraid of going through some dark time, and they're thinking that, you know, maybe they're going to have to go through this and God's going to desert them, or they're going to feel totally alone or whatever. So speak to that person and tell them, you know, what you've experienced, kind of like Spurgeon shared what he had.
I think one of the biggest things that I have learned, both through walking through seasons of my own pain and also sitting with the stories of these seven brothers and sisters throughout history, is that when we are walking through pain or we are walking through depression, it can be really easy to turn and become really focused. And for me, it feels almost frantic sometimes on my level of faith and my feeling of whether God is there or not, or whether I'm doing enough. And I become increasingly convinced that that will always point me in the wrong direction. But instead, if I look at God's faithfulness towards me and his relentless insistence to keep company with me in the dark and keep company with me in the pain, that gives me the hope that I need to keep going. Because the reality is, when you're in that place, it feels like God has left you. But he hasn't. And he knows that we're complicated. He knows that there's no easy answer. He knows that a lot of this is just a day-by-day, moment-by-moment journey. He created us that way. And he has chosen to join us on that journey and keep company with us there. And if I can turn my eyes in that direction of his faithfulness, that keeps me pointed in the right way.
That's excellent.
That's really good.
Diana, thanks. We really appreciate the conversation. For you to peel back, you know, this despair that people sort of travel through, and to know that Martin Luther, Charles Spurgeon, Mother Teresa, MLK, I mean, they're there, then we are not immune as well, of course. And no shame as we walk through these dark times. So thanks for being with us. Greatly appreciate your time.
Oh, thanks. It's been good to be with you both.
Thank you. Diana Groover, her new work is called Companions in the Darkness, Seven Saints Who Struggled with Depression and Doubt.
Thanks for listening to Christian Outlook. Our program is coming to you today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy our podcast, take a moment and tell a friend to subscribe today.